Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. It's my day off. These are my favorite days to record because I can just talk about what's been happening. I did just release the other episode only because I had no time and we went on a trip. So now I'm trying to get back on course and get back to normal. But what is normal, really? You know? The good thing is, it's been busy at the hotel. You know, it's good and bad. It's good because I don't have to worry about shifts, but it's bad because then all I do is work and I'm trying to fit in other things, you know, just to have an enjoyable week, right? I'm trying to break things down day by day. Like, I haven't been going to the gym as much only because I've had less time, but I'm trying to think, well, what would I prefer on my day off? Because normally I do body pump, I swim, I do this whole thing, and then that's the day. You know, you run errands, you do laundry, and that's it. Those days are fine, but the weather's getting nicer, and I'm trying to enjoy more things outdoors. So there's this trail I want to go to tomorrow, because I have 2 days off. Wow. There's a water trail, there's a river close by, and I have to enjoy those things now before the water dries up, because it gets so hot here that all the rivers and small lakes, they kind of disappear for the summer. And today I'm going to Disney. It was part of this California special. So if you live in Southern California, you could go to Disney for $199. Of course, plus taxes, ends up being like $230. And then every time you go, there's $35 for parking. But okay. So it was a special pass. It was for 3 separate days, or you could do the days together. And I decided to meet up with my friend and we picked 3 days in like 3 months. It was not an easy thing. It was kind of challenging to get these days together because I'm typically off during the week. She's typically off on the weekend. So it was a bit tricky. But today's the last day I'm going. And last time I mainly did rides. So every time you go on a ride, you pretty much wait an hour to an hour and a half. And that takes up a large chunk of the day. I don't think there's too many rides left. So mainly I'm just going to look at what I didn't get to look at last time. And it's in the middle of the week. So hopefully it won't be too busy. I'm drinking this tea. So I'm trying to drink something that's healthier in the mornings. I do enjoy coffee now and then. I don't have to drink coffee every day, but I enjoy a good coffee maybe a few times a week. I don't just want to drink coffee to have coffee. It has to be good coffee. I like to make my own steamed milk. I like to froth it up and then pour it into my coffee. But I'm trying to do this tea. It's supposed to be good for the heart, for weight management, for blood sugar control, and it's 4 ingredients. Well, 5 technically, because I put honey into it. So it's quercetin, it's quercetin, like a half teaspoon, a half teaspoon of powdered ginger. You can also add fresh. I do a half teaspoon of berberine, which is super healthy, I guess, for weight management. It's the skin of a berry, the berberine berry, and then mountain bark. And that's the grossest thing in the tea. It makes it bitter. Of course it does, right? Of course mountain bark is good for you. But of course it doesn't taste good. So I try to make it taste better with honey. The thing with mountain bark, it's a little bit bitter. So it adds this bitterness. I like the flavor of everything else. So anyway, I'm trying to drink this in the morning just to have something that doesn't make me crave something sweet. And it's my day off, so I'm like, okay, let me just try this. I do have to go buy storage because I have to drop off this box. So every time I went to the kitchen to bake for the farmer's market, I had this box filled with kitchen tools. And right now it's in the apartment and I don't really know what to do with it. I don't know if I should continue the farmer's market or kind of just wait and see. I've been doing better physically because I haven't been going to the farmer's market. It takes a toll on me physically and just energy-wise, you know, because it's an all-day thing. I enjoy it when I'm doing it, like when I'm standing there selling my things. I enjoy it, you know, because I'm meeting people. But at the end of the night, it's just hard. It would probably be easier if I had an employee who could sell and I do the other side of things. But I'm not at that point. This was really just an extra thing. Yes, I wanted my own business and I wanted to see how that could work, like how that could happen. But it sucks to try and have a business when you have no money, you know, to put into anything. So I suppose I could get loans. I suppose I could start like that. But I really don't want to. I like the idea of having my own business, of doing my own thing. But the stress factor, it's almost like too high for me because I don't know what's going to happen, you know, and I get that. Like my husband has that all the time. He has his own business and I see the stress in him. I've seen it with other people who've had businesses and it just turns me off. There are so many unknowns. In the end, am I really making good money? Like, yes, I was, considering I only did it 1 to 2 times a week and it was a good add-on. But if I did it full-time, I don't know if I could do it, just do all these different farmers markets. It's very stressful for me, just mentally not knowing what's going to happen. You know, when you have a job, you know what you're making hourly, you know what you're making salary, if that's the case, and you can calculate, you can work with that. I guess I like it as a additional supplement, you know, because it's not so stressful. But then you only have a certain amount of time and then that becomes stressful. So I don't know. I don't have all the answers. All I know is I tried it. You know, I tried it for 9 months and there were pros and cons. Again, I did like the social aspect of it. I like trying out new things and seeing what customers would buy. Customers asking me for things as I was doing it and then bringing them the following week and seeing them happy and enjoying what I made. Like, that's rewarding. But then packing everything, setting it up, bringing it back, bringing it to storage. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot, you know? And then on top of that, the full-time job. And I guess I'm trying to figure out the right direction in which to go in. And I just don't know. I don't have all the answers. And when I spoke to my therapist about it, she says, you don't have to have all the answers. It's okay. You know, like I'm a pre-planner. I plan for things because I like to have a system. I like to have something to look forward to. That's why I like to plan trips in advance. And also because they're better prices. But the unknowns are hard for me. And I feel like that's pretty normal, right? Like, we like to control most aspects of our life because the unknowns are stressful. I like to think of myself as flexible if I need to be. Like, if something changes, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do this. I think I'm pretty good at that. But the overall picture of not knowing what's going on, I guess that stresses me out. And maybe it's getting worse as I'm getting older because things can happen at any moment. There's so many unknowns. Like, I like adventure on one hand, but I like it more as like hiking or going outside. I don't know if I'm that adventurous for my own business. I don't know. I know I talked about it a lot and I do like the idea of it, but it's like, I need to have this reserve of money for me to feel okay about spending it all, basically. You know, not having any money, starting out with like not a lot, and then spending it all in the business and then not having anything and just waiting on the week to week for things to happen. I don't think that's going to grow my business, you know, because it's kind of like desperation. So I'm still figuring things out. Maybe I'm just one of those people who's always going to figure out things. I do know that I'm open-minded. I'm trying out different things. A couple days ago was a Mother's Day brunch, and we made so many things at the hotel. It's $200 per person, which sounds like a lot, and it's not cheap. But if you look at the whole spread that they had, it was pretty amazing, you know, for pastry, just the whole kitchen, you know, and this seafood spread and everything. But at the end of the day, there's only so much you can eat. So if you think about a family of four, let's say, that's like almost $1,000 just for brunch. Wow. Afterwards, I went to the beach and I just laid there and I took a nap. I love napping and laying down with waves. It's so easy for me to just close my eyes and hear the waves. I sleep so well. So I don't know if you're wondering, but the mammogram scan that I had to have done, turns out everything's fine. They just needed other views and they didn't see anything suspicious. So that's good. And I saw this episode of Black Mirror. It's with Paul Giamatti. It's in the most recent season, I think season 7 or maybe 8. I forget, but it's the most recent one. And I don't know the name of the episode. It's Paul Giamatti's character, and an old girlfriend had passed, you know, and this is maybe 40 years later. And he gets a phone call to recall or add to memories of this person's life for the funeral. Basically, Black Mirror is set in the future, and there's usually different technology aspects that have been created that we don't have now. So what was created was you could look at a photograph and you put this like electronic kind of disc on the side of your forehead and it moves you into that picture. You know, it's 3D. You're in the picture. Things aren't moving, but like you're in it. You're not just looking at it, and it's all around you. You know, so you can turn in the picture and actually look at things in detail. So this is the new technology. Paul Giamatti's character found a few of these pictures with this person, but he was mad at this person. So he took out the face, you know, scratched it out, cut it out of his ex-girlfriend because he was mad at her. Anyway, it turns out that what he was mad about 40 years ago blinded him from the truth, from what was really going on in their relationship. And I thought this episode was so impactful because we do this all the time, right? We're so set on what we believe, what we are focusing on, what we want, and we don't always see the bigger picture. So what I've been trying to do in life is just look at the bigger picture. Like, don't get overwhelmed at this isn't happening the way I want or I'm not getting what I need. Because we can get stuck in that, you know, and then we can get upset at it, in a bad mood, and this whole other dimension takes over, you know, and then we're blinded from the bigger picture. And I guess the bigger picture is, like, what is the other person feeling? What are they going through? Like, yes, it's important to have your own needs met, but it's also important to not be blinded by our own things constantly. It's supposed to be a balance, right? I mean, hopefully the other person is also seeing the bigger picture, and that's why discussions are good. But I really enjoyed this episode because what he was stuck on, what he was mad about 40 years ago, when looking at these different pictures and being able to step inside these pictures, other details came up. Other things came up that he didn't notice before or he didn't want to notice. You know, he was so stubborn and stuck on his own views that the views of this other person didn't matter, you know. And then there was this moment where it turns out later that he didn't know that she was pregnant. In the relationship, she was mad at him and she had a one-night stand with somebody. In the end, she just wanted his attention, like Paul Giamatti's character. Anyway, it turns out she got pregnant from this other person and she wanted to keep it. So in this one picture, there was a note from her, but he didn't notice it. He just took a picture of the room as a mess because he was so mad that basically, you know, she had a one night stand. Like he found out about it somehow. And then he looked at a picture and he saw a note from her, but he didn't notice it that night because he was so mad. It turns out that he had it in his things, in this box with other pictures, and he read the note 40 years later, and he never saw it. But in that note, it said, it explained the situation, what she was going through, and said to him, if you want a future with me, if you're okay with having this baby with me, even though it's not from you, meet me in the morning. You know, meet me and let's talk about it. And he never saw this note. It was like amongst his things 40 years later. And he read it in that moment. And it was so sad because this whole other life that he could have had passed him by. Maybe it wasn't meant to be, who knows, but it was a choice that he could have made that he didn't see, that he didn't want to see in that moment. You know, and then looking at it, this person died, and now you find this and you can't go back in time. I thought it was so powerful because in the end, in any situation, we have a choice. The outcome is not always our decision. You know, things happen with our health, with money, whatever, right? But in the end, we have a choice. We have a choice. Do we want to stay in this job? Do we want to stay in this relationship? What do we want? We have a choice. You know, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we're just in this situation because we feel like forced into it or put into it, and we don't know why we're doing it anymore. Paul Giamatti's character, he always had a choice, but he was so mad, he didn't see, and he was just mad at this person, and he never saw this letter. But then if you see it, right, like 40 years later, and you look back at something that could have been, like, how does that make you feel? Choices you've made that have led you to this moment, do you regret certain choices? Do you feel like you've made the right choices? No choice is easy. Even if you think a choice is easy, there's always pros and cons. It always comes with other consequences. And it's up to us to weigh those out. It's up to us to be like, is this choice I'm making worth this other choice that I'm giving up? Right? Like when I moved from Aspen, I left my job. Yes, I was working a lot, but most of all, I just felt stressed out, like mentally. You know, yes, I was making good money and I felt independent. I liked how I felt because of that. I could travel where I wanted to, okay, only certain times of the year, but there were good things that came with that job. You know, but overall, I wanted a different life. So I switched it just like that. I happened to meet somebody and I moved to San Diego and I got married. And all these choices happened so quickly, you know, and they're not bad choices. Like I wanted those things and I don't regret any of my choices, you know, but if you look at your life as a whole, all these choices have brought you to this moment. And maybe if I'd made other choices, would I have been happier? I don't know. I think we can always think about these things and it probably doesn't make us feel better about the situation, right? Life is what it is and you are where you are. And it's just up to us to make the most of those choices. You know, don't take them lightly and live them out to their fullest. You know, so in this Black Mirror, in the end, you see him reading this letter, and then he ends up going to this funeral, and the funeral was in UK, in England, and he was in the US. And throughout the whole episode, you think, oh, he's not going to go to this funeral. He didn't want to go. But as he looks at these pictures, as he reads his letter, he realizes he loved her, you know? And in the end, he shows up to the funeral and he plays at the funeral. He plays a song, or it's a song that she composed or something like that. But it was a very touching episode, and it made me think. It just made me think about my choices. You know, what choices have you made, or what choices are you about to make that maybe it's okay to just think about? I make sudden choices. Even though I'm such a planner, my choices are somehow very fast. I decide something, and then I go in that direction. In the end, I want to be balanced, right? I want a companion in my life and those moments to be balanced, to have a different life than just working all the time. And I'm trying to figure that out. It's hard with the day-to-day stresses. It's hard with day-to-day life, you know? Everyone has a goal. Everyone wants to be successful in what they're doing, do the right thing. Yeah, it's hard. Being in a relationship is harder than being single. It for sure, you know, but there's also beautiful things that come with that. It just takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of communication. These are things that I've gotten better with age, as I've gotten older. You know, and you ask yourself, what are you willing to deal with, you know, to have this balance, to create this in your life. I think the biggest thing in any given situation is just to ask yourself, would this fulfill me? Would this make me feel good? By helping others, does this make me feel good? By being present. Basically, what I want is real moments. You know, I don't want to just live my life working like a crazy amount. Like, I played the lottery the other day. Instead of $2 for a quick pick, now it's $5. Like, they more than doubled the amount. So I'm like, oh, like, now I have to spend more money to play the lottery. But it's like, if you don't play, you won't win, right? Like, there's always that chance that you could win. And then I was thinking, if I won the lottery, would I still continue to work at my current job? I'm like, probably not. Probably not. I think if I won the lottery, I would just stop working for a while and just travel. I think that's like the biggest thing that I would do. But who knows, right? When you're in that moment, when that actually happens, who knows what you would do? Like, it's easy to think about what you would do and be very rational. But in that moment, I think the most irrational things happen and this other part of your mind takes over. I got this call from this casting person for a cooking show. And they're supposed to call me this morning. I don't know at this point if I want to do it, but at least I'll talk to the person. At least I'll see what they're talking about. You know, is it a scam? Is it real? I don't know anything anymore these days, right? Like, AI is everywhere. They can recreate our voices. Like, everything is possible. And all I know is, let's just try it, right? That's the least we can do, is try it. If we don't try it, we'll never know. It's like in the Black Mirror with Paul Giamatti's character. He thought the relationship was over. He didn't see the note. He didn't show up the next morning to talk with her. And that's that. The relationship was over. You know, he didn't try calling or anything like that. But that's from what he was seeing. The reality was, it was different than he thought it was, because he was so blinded by his emotions. What I'm saying is, if something is bad right now, or if something is hard, don't be blinded by your emotions. We're quick to say, like, oh, this isn't working how I want it to. Maybe, you know, I should look at other options. And we're quick to give up, I think. Maybe some faster than others. Sometimes when we see things are going downhill, we just like abandon the situation, right? We jump off the ship before it is actually fully sunk to save our minds, maybe. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, look at the bigger picture. You know, is what you're doing worthwhile? Is there a bigger goal? Is there a bigger part of you that wants to follow whatever you're doing, whatever situation that you want to follow through? It's not always about, is there a reward, right? Like we're good to do things for something, if we're given something. But why are we following through? Why do we want to stick with what we're doing? You know, what do you want out of the situation? Like right now, I'm at the hotel mainly for the insurance. That's the bigger picture. Yes, there's security because I have a job, and at least that's some income. That's money coming in. You know, so there are components to that that are positive. Do I want to do this forever? No, probably not. You know, so I'm going to keep my options open, keep looking for other things that could make me happy, keep sending things to casting directors, and just keep trying, because that's all we can do. Just keep our options open. You know, because what's that story when, what is it, the person was dying and he was waiting for Jesus to appear, for God to appear, but he never did. But meanwhile, he sent like four other people to help him. But because it wasn't God himself, he didn't take it. Maybe what you're waiting for or looking for won't be that. But you don't know in what other ways help could come your way. You know, so if someone reaches out to me about a casting a cooking show, yeah, let me look into that. You know, you don't know what decision you make opens up 10 other choices. So what I'm saying is, look at the bigger picture. Don't be so focused for this one direction. Don't just be focused for this one thing. You know, it's like when I went to Switzerland, 10 other things happened, right? Like COVID, or like I had to make all of a sudden all these other decisions. Things are always more complicated than we think they are going into it. But that's also the beauty of it. That's the beauty of life, right? We can see it in a negative way and be like, oh my God, this is so overwhelming. It's too much. But also see it as so many other things can happen that can open things up and make us happy in so many ways that we never thought possible, right? Like our minds are limited to a certain thing because we've experienced all these negative things, right? That we're like, if we just have this one thing happen, then everything else will be fine. But we don't know in how many other ways these other things can open us up. These other things can make us happy that we never thought were possible. So what I'm saying is, when something comes your way, just see where it takes you. See where it goes. You know, so I have this casting call. I'm going to take it. I'm going to see where it goes. If it sounds sketchy, okay, you know, let me make that decision down the road. But don't be limited by what you're going to say or what you're going to do before the opportunity arises. Okay, like I know that what I'm saying is all very like up in the air, but that's how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling like everything's good. Everything's fine, right? Like we're all just living our lives. We're trying to make it through. We're trying to pay the rent or make it to the end of the month, whatever. That's why I always like to have small things to look forward to. Like next month for my birthday, I'm seeing my family. Everyone's going to be in Seattle. My brothers live there. My dad's visiting. And we're going to spend a few days together. And that's something to look forward to. I'm excited about that. You know, so it's important to have things to look forward to, but also look at the bigger picture. Write down your goals. Write down what it is that you want that would make you happy, that would open up your heart. And then when any of these opportunities arrive, just take it. And then maybe 10 other things will happen that you never expected or thought could happen. After I recorded this episode, something else happened. So this network called me. It's called Eat This Network. And basically, they kind of told me of a proposal. This is what they said. They have 83 million viewers or subscribers, but they have their own network. They call all these chefs, like me included. They're looking for more pastry chefs. So they called me and they said, we want you to do a pilot episode for a theme that you can pick. It just has to be a dessert. And if your ratings are good, like they're going to show this pilot with their customers, right? Their subscribers. And if it has really good ratings, then they will extend to me or any of their chefs, maybe 12 episodes or a certain number of episodes that they will pay for. The only thing is, and here's the catch, because everything has a catch, right? That's just how life is. The catch is that I have to pay for the pilot episode. So they said the fee for the kitchen, because I have to rent a kitchen, it's in New York, and it's $2,300, which it's a lot, but it's not crazy. And when I book it, I pretty much have to pay the full sum. But that doesn't include food cost. That doesn't include my flight, hotel. So overall, probably I would spend about close to $5,000. Again, it's not that crazy, but it's like a demo. You know, it's like to be a voiceover artist, you need a demo to feature your voice to send it out. You know, same for music, right? People want to hear what you can do. And it's the same with this. They want to see, and if it gets really good ratings, then they will offer further. And then they will come to the city that you live in and film episodes and go from there. So it's fair, but obviously there's a catch, you know. I understand because they're reaching out to however many chefs, right? If they pay a pilot for all these chefs and then they don't get good ratings, they would be bankrupt, probably. So I understand it from a business perspective. It's fair. It's like they're giving you a shot and I gotta pay for it. So I feel like it's positive. I feel like if they said $10,000, okay. That's a lot. I don't have $10,000, right? Just for this. So I spoke with a friend of mine who also got called like a month ago. We talked about it together and are thinking about we could do a duo, you know, but if it gets picked up and they like us and we get good ratings, then we split the money. If this is different, if this increases our chances of getting better ratings, why not? You know, so we talked about it yesterday and it sounded doable. So we just have to talk about a theme that we're going to follow. This is my friend that I've known for like 15 years. We worked together at Bouchon and that's where we met. And we've been friends ever since. So anyway, this happened yesterday. I'm like, okay, you know, it's something. It's not like someone giving you, right? Like a show out of nowhere. But this is realistic, right? Yes, I would like the show out of nowhere, but this is like my chance, right? I'm being given a chance. So they also said I can reach out to companies. Like, let's say if I'm using King Arthur flour, if I'm using, you know, a certain brand of eggs, I can reach out to this company and tell them about this pilot. And then the network would send them like a letter saying that this is like a real thing. And then the company can choose to contribute to this pilot. And there's advertising involved, right? So the network advertises up to 5 sponsors. They were saying that. But It's not like these companies are just giving out money and wanting to sponsor everybody. Usually they look at your followers, they look at what you're doing. So it's not like this is some easy thing that everyone's just going to sponsor me. But I did write the owner of the chocolate company that I work for. I wrote him and he was kind enough to write back. He wrote back very quickly and he said that he would forward this information to the American team since he's in Switzerland and that he will let them decide. Which, okay, that's fair. But I thought it was very nice that he got back to me. So we'll see. We'll go from there. This is something that just happened. I'm gonna research the company, look at episodes that they've done, and kind of decide from there. But again, let's say I do this. Let's say I do the pilot. It might go somewhere. Like, I might get episodes through this network with it. But even if I don't, this pilot is mine. I have the rights for it. And I can do with it as I please. You know, I can post it myself. I can reach out to other casting companies and show this. You know, I choose to look at the positive. I choose to see this as a positive experience. And we'll go from there. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you because I was pretty excited about it. And then I also got an invite from a friend of mine for a wedding later this year. And she's getting married in Italy. And right away, I'm like, oh my God, I want to travel. And I looked at flights. And if I book a flight right now to Rome from LA, it's $400. Like, isn't that pretty good? $400? So anyway, I'm getting like super like itchy, you know, because I really, really want to go to that wedding. I just love Italy. I love to travel. Anyway, I feel like I just want to book the flight and then go from there because it's $400. Like usually that's like a flight from California to Washington State, you know, from LA, California to Rome, Italy is $400 right now. If you book it for like late October, I mean, that's pretty amazing. So anyway, I told my husband about it. He's more like the grounded, down to earth person. And I'm more like the, oh, adventure, gotta do it, you know? So we'll see. But positive things are happening. And that's what I'm saying. If you want to do something, keep your options open and just go for it because you never know. That's all I'm saying. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.